Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with Eric Pearson, the general manager of Aruze Gaming Americas, on his recent appointment to lead the slot manufacturer after years on the operating side of the business. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for North American casinos and iGaming sites. Eric Pearson was recently appointed general manager of Aruze Gaming America. He will oversee all of Aruze's operations in the United States, Canada, and Latin America, with an initial focus that will be on sales, marketing, human resources, production, and service functions. But Pearson comes from the other side of the fence. For the last 17 years, he has worked in slot operations, most recently as the Corporate Senior Vice President of Global Slot Operations and Slot Marketing for Las Vegas Sands Properties worldwide. He also worked for Harris Entertainment, Coast Resorts, and Delaware North, among others. One of his first moves at Aruze was to guarantee that their games will work for his client or he'll replace them. He calls himself a disruptor. He spoke with me at the Aruze offices in Las Vegas in April. Pearson, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. I'm glad we could get together here. You've just been at Aruze for just a few weeks now, I guess, huh? And we're looking forward to really talking about the company and the product you're putting out.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, it's a pretty excited to be doing this.
So this is your first time on the manufacturer side. You've been a slot operations guy your whole career, most recently at LVS, Las Vegas Sands, and all of their properties. Harrah's, you've been at as well. So what do you think that operations angle brings to your new position here?
You know, Aruze for me was exactly the right company at the right time. And the reason is we're one of the smaller manufacturers, and you know, having been on the operating side for better part of 17 years and buying slots for, you know, one of the largest gaming companies in the world for a long period of time, there was a lot of built-in challenges and frustrations that I had as a customer. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to address it over at Aruze. You know, one of our big positions is we're going to be a disruptive manufacturer. And so, you know, and what that means is you apply it. We've already rolled out from now on our video platform, if you buy our hardware, we're going to guarantee the software for 2 years, which mm-hmm. means we're getting away from a conversion model.
Okay.
Because I feel like, you know, if you go out and spend, $16,000 to $20,000 on a box and then the game doesn't work and the manufacturer asks you to spend another $3,500, you know, I never thought that was quite fair, frankly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so now this bakes that into the price for 2 years and you buy our product, you know it's going to perform. If it's doing less than 80% of floor average, we're going to give you a conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think the large manufacturers are going to be able to respond and react to that. And so I'm enjoying this a lot.
That's a pretty dramatic move, though. I mean, retrofits are a big profit center for a slot manufacturer. Why did you decide to do it this way?
Yeah, so it was long distance.
Yeah.
and I think, you know, basically I think this industry is ripe for people who start to put their customer first instead of figuring out how they can continue to extract maximum value out of each transaction. Mm-hmm. So this flips it on its, you know, upside down, because now what happens is when the sale is done, but now for the next 2 years, we're going to support it. Whereas mm-hmm. the existing model was the sale is done, so now I want to sell you some more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is going to build a lot of trust with customers, because, you know, they're not going to have to worry about the performance of the product anymore. And I think ultimately that's going to lead to more sales.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So explain how it will actually work. If the original game you put in there isn't performing up to the expectations, you'll put another game in?
Yeah, if it's not doing 80% of floor average
for
30 days,
mm-hmm.
then they just have to notify the sales rep, and we'll find the best software we can to come in and put it in immediately. And if in a month from now it still doesn't work, we'll get you another game. We'll continue to support it until it's successful.
Okay.
And, you know, that was one of the first things I wanted to do here, because I wanted to say, hey, you know, we are not just another manufacturing company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here to make some inroads, grow some market share,
sure.
and have a lot of fun.
Well, that's definitely going to be disruptive.
I hope so.
So tell us, from your operational experience, what are the top priorities for Aruze going forward here?
Well, the first step for me is to figure out, you know, where we think we're going to, what's our biggest opportunities for new profit streams?
Right? Mm-hmm.
So we're not in all the jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in alignment to go into 11 jurisdictions over the next calendar year. And I think that's going to be a big growth center for us. The online social media space, we're starting to be a participant, but it's going to start to be a real significant source of recurring revenue for us. We're excited to be in that space. We're also going to start to really focus on an area that's been a historic strength of Aruze, but they've gotten away from. We're going back to electronic table game stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you think of their craps and their roulette, their Sigbo, right. They've been fantastic. And so we have a lot of new products in that space that we're starting R&D on right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's going to be another revenue center for us.
Okay. So are you looking at some new games, new types of games?
It's not just new games. So to me, you know, we can't spend $200 million a year in research and development like a GTEC can.
Right.
So what we want to figure out is where can we compete the best? And where I'm looking at is things like new markets. So mm-hmm. I'm taking a look at things that are traditionally table games, and then I'm going to start to work towards adding, you know, electricity and electrical components. Mm-hmm. We're going to start to make them better and more fun.
So, sure.
You know, it's not a stretch to see significant changes to the way people play blackjack on a real blackjack table, mm-hmm. for example. So it's not just slot manufacturing we're thinking right. about.
Well, one of the things I always liked about Aruze games was their appearance. I mean, they're always brighter. They seem to be more exciting than other games. Is that something that you're going to continue?
Yeah, and actually, it's one of the things from a development standpoint that I'm pushing Aruze on a lot. I just came back from Tokyo, and what you're talking about is really a lot of the patchy elements. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the Innovator Reel they came out with, that was a fantastic example. And so, you know, to me, I think that there's a big market to take a lot of, to embrace the fact that we're a Japanese company. We're going to start to build Japanese content, import it back into North America and the world. And I think our customers are going to be very receptive, just like they were with Dufu Dakai, for example, which they would have thought was built for the Chinese customer, has been a big hit in North America. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think we're definitely embracing the Japanese roots.
Okay. In terms of R&D, do you have an R&D factory or a studio here and in Japan?
We do.
Yeah.
And it's important because they each have different priority sets and they each have different mindsets they bring to the game. And, mm-hmm. and so we're also going to start to get into the North American premium space.
Okay.
Where we're going to have some licensed brands, and those are probably built by our North American team. But a lot of the core video, you know, and the stuff that people think of as Aruze, that's built mm-hmm. out of Japan.
Okay. Well, licensed brands has always been something Aruze shied away from, so you're going to embrace that now?
We are. There's a couple companies, brands that I can't talk about yet, but that we're definitely going to be striking deals with.
Okay, so we'll see something at G2E, I'm assuming.
Yeah, for sure.
Great. So, you know, the big trend in the industry right now is the skill-based kind of esports, unconventional slot products. Is this something that you're looking at, something on your roadmap?
Absolutely. You know, and it's another space that I think that we're going to be very successful in competing in. You know, I think that there's a lot of the word skill-based gaming means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I think overall the industry's failed so far. You know, they've said, well, let's put a Frogger on a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
And customers didn't react to that because really Frogger wasn't integral to the overall play. And it's not really a pick on Konami because IGT and other companies have had the similar struggle. You know, I think if you go to South Korea right now, you'll see stadiums of 35,000 people playing e-gaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where skill-based gaming is going. So to me, skill-based gaming is an entirely different beast besides a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some stuff that we have provisional patents filed underway,
yeah.
and we're pretty excited to be able to talk about it as soon as they come out.
Okay, great. So are operators going to have to change their mindset, do you think, against, you know, the win per unit per day calculation? Because, you know, the skill games tend to take longer than just one pull of the handle or push of the button.
You know, ultimately what happens, you know, coming from the operator side is, you know, you're looking at profit per square foot. And so, you know, win per unit is one of the metrics that is somewhat useful in table games, win per table. But ultimately, all this stuff gets baked down to profit per square foot. And
mm-hmm.
so what I don't think will change from an operator's perspective is yielding their floor the most profitable way they can. I think, frankly, it's incumbent upon the manufacturer to find the product that can be sort of supported by the operator.
Mm-hmm.
And so dialing down expectations in terms of profit, I don't think it's realistic, because if it became less than, you know, $2.50 per square foot, they'd lease that out to retail space, for example, and you just see gaming space shrink. The onus is on the manufacturers to build games that the operators can sell to their customers, mm-hmm. the entertainment experience, and, sure. and be profit, get the profit that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, so one of the challenges that you're identifying is the fact that the stuff that's been rolled out so far really hasn't made much profit.
Right.
You know, and if you go over to MGM right now, and they're betting on the future, I think it's an awesome statement. What they're mm-hmm. saying is, we believe in skill-based gaming. We believe this is the future where things are going.
Right.
And what they're really waiting for is an operator to come in with a product that nails it. Mm-hmm. And I think right now what you have is an operator ahead of the manufacturers.
Right. So you see skill games kind of in its infancy right now.
I'm not sure it's born.
Yeah. you know, there's a couple of companies out there that have, you know, that focus just on skill-based games, and you haven't been impressed with their products at this point.
You know, I think that, again, I think that, you know, companies like Gamblit, and I'm very familiar with their software mm-hmm. suite, I think there's components and elements that will be successful, but I think the evolution needs to go further, right. much further than where they're at, mm-hmm. yeah.
And is this the answer to the millennial question that the casinos have been grasping with for the past couple of years?
I think the challenge, and I think, frankly, manufacturers have the same challenge, is that, you know, you have game developers and designers who are 30 and 40 years older than the customers they're building for.
Right.
And they've been building a similar type of reel and video for a very long time. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden they're asked to build essentially an entirely new product. And it ends up being a real challenge for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you're going to start to see is developers who are coming in from the gaming industry, not the non-gaming, like
sure,
arcade
right.
industry.
Right.
And I think that once that integration starts to happen on a more wide-scale basis, I think you'll see more traction.
Okay, great. Let's go back to the ETGs for a minute. You know, your craps game on the G-Station platform was very impressive, very very different than anything else that had been out there. Are the ETGs you're developing, are they going to look different and feel different than any of your competitors?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
There's a distinctive feel that Aruze builds, and the stuff that we've seen out of prototype totally lives up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to have a lot of television technology built in. It's going to have a lot of lights, a lot of sound. You know, but it's going to stay true to the core elements. You're still playing craps. You're still mm-hmm. playing roulette. But we think we're going to make it better.
Right.
And we think there's going to be a huge market that we're going to be very successful competing in.
Okay. You mentioned your Japanese roots. Is the pachinko experience within the company going to help out?
Yeah, it's important. You know, one of the things we're working on right now is projection mapping. All the manufacturers are. And Universal, which is one of the largest distributors of pachinko, mm-hmm. and is one of our partner companies, is very far along in projection mapping. We're bringing that technology over to the Aruze side, and there's some really cool stuff that's coming out with mm-hmm. that. So there's no doubt about, you know, we're blending the two.
Okay, great. So I know a few years ago, Aruze had a lot of success selling to tribal casinos in California. With a lot of tribes, you know, just jumped on some of the products you had. are you in Class 2 right now, or do you plan to get into it more deeply?
Actually, Roger, that's a fantastic question, and it's actually one of the opportunities that I identified in the first 30 days. And we're working right now with a company called CGM, mm-hmm. who's going to convert a lot of our Class 3 product to Class 2.
Okay.
And so we intend to definitely dive into that market, the mm-hmm. Oklahoma market, and right. some of the other Class 2 markets, because we see it as a huge opportunity for us.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of tribes are adding Class 2s even in Class 3 markets just because it's not under the same taxation structure.
And they've capped out their slot machines.
Right, so exactly, right.
100%.
How about the street market, the video games that are in bars and restaurants? Are you going to get into that market as well?
Not at this time.
Yeah,
you
okay.
know, I have to stay within our development budget.
Yeah, sure. That's a stretch there.
I can't do everything for everybody.
Exactly. So last year you launched the CubeX cabinet and other series like the Tower Stack and the 999.9 Gold Wheel. I mean, those were pretty impressive products. Are there any new additions to those machines or those themes that you can talk about this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff is just a little bit too early for me to start talking about our new development path, mm-hmm. just because a lot of the provisionals haven't
sure.
been granted,
mm-hmm.
the patents haven't been granted. So, but what I can tell you is that, you know, Rich was really behind the wheel.
Right.
And it's been a tremendous success. And also we have multiple five-level progressives, four- and five-level progressives that are coming out that are doing very, very well, anywhere from 1.5 to 3 times floor average. And so this is another example of being disruptive. So because most companies don't sell their wheel. Most companies don't want to sell their multi-level progressives. Mm-hmm. We are.
Okay.
You know, and so we're going to go out to customers, and we're going to sell them typically what's only participation product that's going to perform like participation product. But they're going to own it. They're going mm-hmm. to save the fees.
Okay.
Because I can tell you, you know, just as there's no one type of slot machine for all type of players, there's not one type of selling model for all type of customers. Mm-hmm. Some customers are capital constrained. Some customers are fee-based restrained. Some customers need to lease.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing about Aruze being a smaller company, we got to be more nimble. And so we need to talk the sales language that customer wants to talk. And mm-hmm. so everything's on the table from leasing to you, if that's what you want, to purchasing all of our mm-hmm. product.
Okay. So I'm seeing, you know, a lot of your influence as an operator in your discussion here. What's it like when you go into a casino and you're talking to the slot operators? Do you have more simpatico with them than the normal manufacturer would?
I think so. You know, the truth is, most of my phone calls when I start to talk to the people who lead their division, and I start to talk to them about figuring out how to reduce fees.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty receptive, you know, and
right.
you know, so the language I talk is the language they're hoping to hear
yeah.
and haven't been able to hear for a long time
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I can tell you as a very large buyer, you know, the entire industry has been trying to push towards recurring revenue
mm-hmm.
because it flattens out months when there's low sales. And,
right.
and I understand that their thought process, but at the same time, from an operator's process, you know, you'd rather have capital than fees because you're judged basically on EBITDA.
Right, right. Okay. So how about the international market? You just focused on the U.S. or are you looking at some of the other areas as well?
The whole world at this point.
Yeah, okay.
The truth is, you know, no one's going to be able to sell better to Sands than me.
Right.
And they're half of Macau.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for Singapore.
Right.
You know, and so that alone, plus North America, is making up a good 85%
mm-hmm.
of our sales. And
right.
so, you know, Manila... I have great relationships. As
sure.
I just came back from Manila
okay.
a couple days ago. So, no, I'm looking at the whole world. And I really, my job and my goal at Aruze is just to make this company as big as possible.
Okay. So I guess you'll have plenty of machines in the Okada Resort there.
Yeah, we did very well there.
For some reason. So where do you want to see this company in 5 years?
You know, it's one of the things I was talking to Takahiro about a couple days ago. We think of ourselves as a gaming entertainment provider,
mm-hmm.
and that can mean slot machines, that can mean owning casinos,
mm-hmm.
that can mean skill-based wagering in ways that doesn't typically look like a slot machine. It's our whole mission is to figure out what gaming customers think of as fun and then provide that content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so where I'm trying to take this company is I obviously want to gain market share in our core business, which is in manufacturing. I want to make sure Mr. Okada's casino in the Philippines outperforms relative to the market. I want to make sure that anytime there's an opportunity for us to grow profit in this company that's in our core in gaming and entertainment mm-hmm. space, that we take advantage of. So social online,
sure.
I'm pushing our team to go out and get very active in that space. And we're even looking at a couple of casino purchases
okay.
in North America.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, it's an exciting time for your company, and I'm really excited to see you involved here. And we'll look forward to talking to you before G2E when Frank Legato does our Global Games section, which is the expansive section on all the new games. And I'm looking forward to hearing about all your new stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to talk about it.
Great. Well, thanks for the time, Eric. Nice to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.